There are two steps to voting.
One,
go to your polling place and vote.
Two,
listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. After you visit the voting booth, tune into News Radio 92.3 beginning at 7 p.m. tonight. And there'll be a complete wrap-up the next morning on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. So, to sum up,
step one,
vote.
Step two,
listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Did in New York and in other places, Colorado and others, it's not just a big city phenomenon or just a blue coastal phenomenon. Sure. Okay, so we're going to put up on the screen a few of the things that are part of your platform, and I want to ask you, just give me sort of a true or false on these. Abolish the Senate.
True.
Okay, replace the presidency and Supreme Court as we now know them.
Yep.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Defund the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Abolish prisons, at least in large part.
Yeah, again, that as part of a long-term program, yeah.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Shannon Bream, Fox News Sunday host, talking with Megan Romer, co-founder or co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America a couple of weeks ago. And I just thought it was such a fascinating interview. I hadn't had a chance to get to it on the air, but since it's Election Day and since we have socialists on the agenda, you know, there are socialist candidates running for the mayor of Pensacola. Well, they can't win. Well, who can't win? Well, you know, the socialists can't win. Why is that? Well, you know, because America. So, I'll explain. Whoever gets the most votes wins. Well, yeah. So, if you want somebody to not win, you better vote. You know, like, nobody wins because they're due. People win because somebody votes. Well, but socialists, surely not going to. Oh, you think they thought that in New York, right? I said this a couple of weeks ago, a week or two ago on the wrap. I said, be afraid and vote. Vote. The socialists are coming, and they're not kidding. They have been coming for years to the Escambia School Board meeting. They have a little bit less, you know, a little bit more recently, they have been coming to the Pensacola City Council meeting, and they've been coming to the Escambia County Commission meeting. And though you might think they're crazy, first of all, I have said this many times, I respect their honesty. They're not coming in Democrat clothing. They're coming in Democrat socialist clothing. They wear red shirts, literally wear red shirts. And they're proud about their association, and they have been growing in numbers, at least who show up. They're devoted. It's like their favorite hobby to show up at the meetings and talk, and they're getting done what they want to get done. You know, they have raised more. You know, there are two things in politics. You can get your end goal done, or you can raise the significance and attention given to an issue. By any measure, the Democratic Socialists of America have been the most effective political force in the last, I say, 5 years in Pensacola and Escambia County. Because the issues that they care about, everybody's talking about, flock cameras, data centers, you know, that's what they care about, and they've gotten us talking about it, and they've gotten their way done. They stopped the curfew ordinance in Pensacola last week. They stopped it because my read, the city council was afraid of the crazy things they were saying. I haven't covered it as an issue. Okay, I mean, I will. I'm just telling you, if you haven't caught that, that's what happened. They stopped it. They got up and screamed racism, and the city council got all afraid, and they didn't do anything with the ordinance. It was an insane thing to watch. They're winning. Now, they haven't won any elections yet, but, you know, hey, today is Election Day. So pay attention to what they believe. This is stuff, they're not shy about their wild beliefs. Yes, they want to, and now this is federal stuff, but, you know, they believe that they are anti-Israel. Okay? They want to defund the Department of War. They want everybody to have health care. They want housing for everybody. They are into the Green New Deal and feminism for all and stop gender violence and end policies that oppress bodily autonomy and intimate life patriarchal restrictions on abortion, childbirth, child rape. I mean, I'm reading from their platform. They want to end mass incarceration and police immunity. They love to defund the police. They don't want ICE. They don't want borders. They want, you know, they don't want embargoes, sanctions, blockades. They want to eliminate the Senate. They want the House to be the only thing. The presidency goes away. Supreme Court goes away. Everything goes away except for the House of Representatives, and it's, you know, third parties have a say. Like, that's what they want. And again, I kudos to them for being honest. They're not hiding like communists did in the 50s. They're open about it. So Shannon Bream pushed him a little bit on this. I'll get to that in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. Just one spot on the board right now, and that is a travel advisory, Cottage Hill Road at County Road 95A in Cantonment. Use caution as the railroad arms are active and down. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So not to sort of belabor the point, but you know who wins an election? Whoever turns out the most supporters. That's obvious. Yeah, it's obvious. So why aren't you voting? Every single person in Escambia County gets to vote today. Now, the elected appointed superintendent is not a socialist issue. Obviously, you know, it just doesn't fall into that category. But in the city of Pensacola, every single person gets to vote for the mayor's race. There are six candidates. If somebody, I mean, the only one who's likely to get 51% is DC. If he gets 51%, it's over. If not, it's him and whoever else is second best, and they go to November, and you never know what happens in a head-to-head race, right? So you have a chance to vote. Better vote. Everybody gets to vote. In Santa Rosa, too. I mean, because you have primaries all across the board. You have primaries in the Senate race, the U.S. Senate race, Democrat and Republican. You have the governor's primaries. You have the ag commissioner's primaries. You know, you have all kinds of things for you to vote on this year. And even in, like, state representative races, and at least in District 2, you have a race there on the Republican side. But and in, of course, in Santa Rosa, everybody votes for county commission District 2 and 4. Everybody votes for school board. So everybody gets to vote in both counties today. There's something for you to vote on. Every single person can vote in both counties today. All right. Back to Shannon Bream talking with the co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America, Megan Romer.
Okay. So then let's go back through some of those then. Abolish the Senate. There are people who are in the Senate now who are very supportive of DSA. They lose their seats?
Well, the Senate is an anachronistic institution. It comes from the British House of Lords. It is made to protect power for, you know, the Senate was part of the system that was made to make sure that the people didn't have too much of a say. So we want to expand Congress significantly, but make it a unicameral legislature.
Yeah, that's right. To slow the Congress down, to put different interests in different portions of power. Checks and balances is the idea of the bicameral legislature. Of course, she's exactly right. She doesn't answer the question because she's going to lose a lot of supporters that are, you know, socialists in the Senate, not as many of them in the House by percentage, but still, some of them might run for president. AOC is being looked at as, honestly, one of the top candidates for, you know, presidential election in 2 years. So we'll see. Anyway.
Okay. And without the presidency and Supreme Court, so abolish ICE. Would there be any enforcement of immigration laws, or with abolishing the border, we're not enforcing immigration laws. They go away.
Yeah. So again, this is part of this longer term plan, and part of it.
But if you
includes,
can get there.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get to the place where the U.S. is not destabilizing countries in order to mine them for resources, there will be significantly less migration.
What do you say to those, though, that would potentially destabilize the U.S.? Because there's only so much the economy can bear, and when you have a flood of people coming in, it might not work out economically, according to a lot of analyses, if you just open up the borders and there's no enforcement at all.
Well, we're not saying open the borders tomorrow. We're saying rebuild an economy and a society that works for everyone. And the open borders is part of a longer-term international plan that involves us stopping destabilizing countries. Most people who are coming to this country are coming as economic refugees, and we destabilized their country. We did that.
And, you know, it's interesting. She doesn't answer the question, of course. But this is their view, is people only come to America to flee the problems that we created in their countries. As opposed to believing that, for example, America has done a really good job of governance and teaching virtue and making it a prosperous place, and these other countries have not, and so they have created the problems that their citizens are suffering from, and that's why they want to flee and come here. Meanwhile, they want to come here to a place that you're trying to ruin by adopting their system of government, as opposed to the one that's made us great all this time. But, you know, it's a very wonderful fairy tale. Everybody can have everything, and if we just open the borders, then nobody surely will come here to get all the freebies that they're already coming here to try to get in a lesser form. As long as we're just, you know, nice to them internationally and don't try to destabilize their governments, they'll figure it out, too. Everybody can be socialist, and everything can be fantastic.
So if we talk about abolishing prisons, then, does that make society better? I mean, is there anybody that should be incarcerated? I mean, rapists, child predators, murderers?
Yeah, so the long-term plan, when we think about most people who are in prison, they are mostly in prison for crimes of poverty.
Which is a view the socialists hold. I even heard it at a city council meeting. People commit crimes because they don't have enough money. No. There's lots of people who don't have money and don't commit crimes. Lots of people who do have money and do commit crimes. And lots of crimes are not related to economics whatsoever. It's a nonsense view. But it is the view the socialists hold. If you can just... You hear this in a lesser view within the Democrat Party in general, which is if you can just create economic prosperity, then everything will be grand. You know, if we just redistribute the money, but if you stop the billionaires from stealing it from you, which is not how the economy works. But, you know, if you can stop that because it's free transactions, they're not stealing it. They're doing something for you that you like. That's why you pay them. Understand what money is, which they do not. Anyway, if you just redistribute the money more evenly, then everybody will have everything. Well, no, everybody will have an equal share of a much lesser pie. You know, which is why in America, you can go, choose between 83 kinds of meat at the store. And in communist Russia, you'd go to wait in line 3 hours to find meat of the day. I mean, you know, but they don't, there's no knowledge of history. There's just this utopian fantasy thinking. And if you blame everything on economics and then you claim you're going to solve for economics, then I mean, all good.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the really,
So when we get rid of this need for crimes of poverty to exist, when we get rid of that destabilizing force that creates so many people who are living in desperate situations and doing desperate things, that brings those numbers down to very small numbers. And then we can collectively decide what we do with those people. I suspect it won't look like the prison system as we know it.
So if we just have government ownership of the corporations, that's one of their platforms, one of their pieces of their platform, then obviously, you know, we'll be able to have more hiring and better jobs because the government will run it better than any individual can. And certainly the quality will be better and the pay will be better because government will be mandating it. And, you know, you won't have individuals driven to produce a great product at a good price because they won't own it anymore. It'll be the problem of somebody else's, you know, thing that they own. And so you won't have the investment that business owners have. But it's okay. It'll all work out great. Government's going to own the corporations, so government can provide the jobs, and the jobs can be good, and everybody can be trained for the jobs, and everybody can have everything that they ever wanted, plus free time. And we can have, you know, shorter work days and longer vacations and great and wonderful prosperity, all because the government's going to run everything great, just like it runs everything great. I mean, you think, like, this is not the transgressor service. This is what they really believe. They genuinely believe this, and a lot of Americans sympathize with this. Recent surveys on, you know, what your view of socialism is are frighteningly popular because people don't know. And frankly, they look at the capitalism around them and they think, well, this isn't great. And they haven't lived in Cuba, so they don't know. And they think, well, you know, maybe it's time for a change.
Okay, but you do think some people need to be locked away from society.
Some people are not able to be functional members of society. That's okay. True. But what does that look like to keep the rest of us safe? You know, we're talking about safety. We're not talking about punishment. We're talking about making sure that we're safe, everybody's safe, everybody maintains their dignity, and everybody maintains their humanity.
Yeah, but just not their property. So you can be safe from, say, being shot, maybe, but you don't get to be safe from having somebody steal your stuff because, well, there won't be stuff and everybody owns everything and everybody will be happy and you won't have to worry about keeping people from stealing your stuff because they're going to have enough that they won't need to steal your stuff because that's how human nature works. I do all of this only because I think it's important to pay attention. And I think that you have this split in this country where a lot of people who are older or old enough think, God, these socialists, and aren't listening and aren't paying attention and aren't watching the successes that they're having. And they're dismissing them. But they're winning in the Democrat Party. So I would not dismiss them. But also realize that just having contempt for it, which is so tempting, is not persuading the 30-year-olds who think you're old and don't understand TikTok and the wisdom that it brings. And they're winning on social media, and they're winning in local elections. Even if they're not electing, they're winning on, you know, getting their issues out. And so pay attention. Be afraid and vote, okay? And persuade. You know, talk to your kids and your grandkids. Try to explain to them the reality of what this looks like when people have actually tried it historically. And, you know, I don't know, the biggest number of mass murders in all of history were created by socialists, by communists, by people who believed in this stuff and tried it and thought, well, the best way to really get the purity of the polity that we want is to just execute the people who disagree with me. You know, throw the dissenters and the journalists in jail and kill them in the gulag. You know, like that's how it worked historically. 100 million people in the last century killed by their own governments, not under, you know, democratic republics. Anyway, just this is easy to ignore and say it can't happen here. It's happening here. Pay attention. 625 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a travel advisory. Cottage Hill Road at County Road 95A in Cantonment. They're saying use caution as the railroad arms are active and down. That is right near Jim Allen Elementary, so it's going to be a problem as the kiddos get dropped off at school. The front gate of NS Pensacola also backed up to Inner Bay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody texts in, sounds like these folks need a holiday in Cambodia. Yeah, or Cuba. Hey, if you're thinking about buying a home under Free Enterprise, which is a great thing, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you with that. If, you know, they sold 206 homes last year, which is amazing, for a week they're doing, which is a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of everything you need to know in terms of the right price and the right, you know, the landscaping and the curb appeal and the, you know, what's the interior paint color going to be? I was talking to her, and one of the things she says is they had a home that wouldn't sell, and they weren't quite sure why, but it had this coastal yellow interior. They repainted it in off-white, and it sold immediately. Well, that comes from knowledge, from having done a lot of transactions and just being able to figure out these things and how to stage it and photograph it and list it and price it and open house it and follow up. And all. Just there's a lot of success here, and that success can be yours if you call 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
I'm Dr. Isaac William, a candidate for Escambia County School Board District 3. District 3, today is election day. That means we are choosing our future. We know it's time for a change. It's time for integrity and accountability at our school board. Don't leave this decision to someone else. You need to make your voice count. Get out and let's finish strong. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, and I'll be honored to have your vote.
Paid for and approved by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia County School Board, District 3.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pennair Credit Union's high yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at pennair.org/checking.
Federally insured by NCUA, Pennair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield on balances up to $10,000 with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Bands on the Beach happens every Tuesday night at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach and is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. And this Tuesday, you can come out with your lawn chair or a blanket, enjoy the sunset, and paper chase. They're the Gulf Coast's ultimate party band from Louisiana, and they have got musical ADHD, which means they're playing all your favorite songs mashed up into one energetic show. So come dance the night away with Paper Chase this Tuesday at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Good morning, 6:29. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, the Holiday in Cambodia was a Dead Kennedy song, and I didn't catch the reference. Sorry, DK is not my band of choice back in the day. But I'm not against. It just, you know, wasn't my preference. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. President Trump standing by his order to the Pentagon to scale back joint military exercises with South Korea. The president telling reporters he'd spoken with South Korea's president about getting a hand with Iran and apparently was turned down. Trump said he was disappointed with the response.
Yeah, it's an interesting case, right? Because, you know, we have lots of soldiers there helping protect them from, you know, North Korea. And, you know, we have lots of economic ties with them. And the idea like, you know, hey, do a little thing for us over here in Iran. No. Well, maybe we won't do so much for you in South Korea, which is a very Trumpian response. I don't know if I disagree entirely with the concept of it, but, you know, again, why should we be the policemen of the world? It's a fair question to ask. David, go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, the Tupac Shakur murder trial going on in Las Vegas again today. Defendant Dwayne Davis accused of orchestrating Tupac's murder in 1996. In opening statements, prosecutors said even though Davis didn't pull the trigger, he made sure the shooters were armed and ready for Shakur.
Thanks so much, David. I mean, same question about, like, NATO. You know, why wouldn't, you know, those of you who would not help with Iran, well, we help you an awful lot with Russia, right, historically? So why not, right?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. It's primary day in Alaska, Florida, Wyoming, and Alaska. It's a tale of two Dan Sullivans.
Dan, Jay Sullivan is a retired teacher who's challenging sitting Republican Senator Dan S. Sullivan. Dan, Jay Sullivan claims his campaign is for real, but he's being accused of running simply to confuse voters.
It's Fox's Matt Finn in Florida, Democratic Socialist on the ballot.
In South Florida, the 25th Congressional District, DSA-backed candidate Oliver Larkin is challenging Democratic Representative Jared Moskowitz, making immigration enforcement a central issue. And in Florida's redrawn 20th Congressional District, self-described Democratic Socialist Elijah Manley is challenging longtime Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Fox's Alex Hogan opening statements today in a federal case accusing Meta of deliberately making Facebook and Instagram addicted to children. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 78 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up here in just a couple of minutes. Well, polls open in about a half an hour for the primary election today. And ahead of Election Day, about 21,000 Escambia County voters have already cast ballots. Early turnout at just over 14% in Santa Rosa County, close to 14,000 active voters have already cast ballots. Turnout under 10% so far. One of the big questions on the ballot today, whether Escambia County's school superintendent should remain an appointed position or become an elected one. NAS Pensacola is sending more than 900 boxes of archaeological artifacts and records to the University of Georgia for long-term preservation. Volunteers from the base and the university worked together to move the materials, which had been gathered from decades of archaeological surveys on the installation. The transfer brings NAS Pensacola into compliance with federal curation regulations and also includes plans to scan documents for modern digital access. The UGA will be handling artifact processing, analysis, and database entry under that new contract. A 42-year-old man facing a second-degree murder charge after a fatal stabbing near Fort Walton Beach on Sunday. Deputies responded to a disturbance on Lovejoy Road where they found a man in the roadway saying he'd been stabbed. That victim later died at the hospital. Deputies say Cedric Hill was found at that scene holding a knife. Witnesses placed him in an altercation with the victim. He's now being held without bond and investigation is ongoing. Former Pritchard Police Chief Walter Knight and Major Aaron Tucker have pleaded not guilty yesterday to charges of using their law enforcement positions for personal gain. Prosecutors say the two were clocking in for the city while working other jobs and failing to respond to police calls. A judge granted a request barring them from working law enforcement or security while those cases are pending. Both are scheduled for a status hearing in December. Environmental concerns are one of the big driving causes of opposition to Santa Rosa County's planned boardwalk and event hall at Navarre Beach.
In order to construct these, you're taking the secondary and the tertiary dunes, to you're ameliorating them to be able to do this construction.
And resident Carmen Reynolds talked to Channel 3. She said beyond the dunes, she's also worried about traffic Commissioners have already narrowed that project down from three designs to one. One preferred design, which would swap the original visitor center for a community event hall. That project is now out for bid. Well, the Florida gaming regulators have seized illegal slot machines from a business disguised as a legal bingo hall in Cape Coral. The Florida Gaming Control Commission said they worked with Cape Coral police on the operation targeting Uptown Bingo on Santa Barbara Boulevard there. Officials say they slapped a bingo label on electronic slot machines, but that doesn't make them legal under Florida law, which requires bingo to be played on paper cards. It's 6:35 at News Radio. Let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. I-10 and 110 both look good right now. Still dealing with that travel advisory. Cottage Hill Road at County Road 95A in Cantonment. Use caution as the railroad arms are active and down. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We're going to have a hot day today with a heat advisory in place with an extreme heat warning along the coastline. Temperatures near 95 degrees, feeling well into the triple digits up to 112 or higher. 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Wednesday, another very hot day with a 20% chance of rain, high near 96, feeling much warmer in the triple digits. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's going to be another hot one, as you just heard there. 81 already this morning here in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 77 reported right now in Milton. Partly cloudy skies across the area. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Home Depot reported second fiscal quarter results that beat Wall Street expectations on the top and bottom lines. The home improvement retailer also reaffirmed its full fiscal year guidance. CFO Richard McPhail told CNBC that the company continues to operate in, quote, frozen housing market conditions. Jeannie Buss is opposing the potential sale of her family stake in the Los Angeles Lakers. In a letter obtained by CNBC, her lawyer, Adam Streisand, says Jeannie Buss has not agreed to sell the team and that any vote suggesting the Buss family is selling would be and is void. ESPN previously reported that the Buss family had decided to sell its stake to Bob Iger and Joshua Kushner. Defense contracting giant L3 Harris Technologies said it has ousted CEO Chris Kubasik after learning he engaged in, quote, certain conduct that was not consistent with the values of the company. L3 Harris's board appointed Sam Mehta as CEO and president. Its shares fell more than 4% upon the news. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
That'll be $84.52.
Perfect. Grab the bags, honey.
Mom, why do you always check your phone before we pay?
I'm just claiming my cash back on the Upside app. Since we're getting the groceries here and we filled up the car on the way, I've already earned enough this morning to pay for that pizza night we're having Friday.
Wait, so the app pays for pizza?
Not exactly, but the cash I earn on stuff we need helps us pay for the stuff we want. It's just a little win for our family every week.
Get more out of your everyday. Upside is the free app that gets you cash back on routine purchases like gas, groceries, and dining out at more than 100,000 locations nationwide. No points, no rebates, just cash back straight to your wallet. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus on your first purchase. That's promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus. Remember, use promo code ACT5.
Offers vary by user and location at participating merchants. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
I'm Robert Bender, your Escambia County Supervisor of Elections. The August 18th election is underway, and this ballot includes elected positions and issues that affect every citizen in Escambia County. There are three convenient ways to vote. You can vote by mail, vote early August 8th through 15th, or vote at your polling place on Election Day, August 18th. As we celebrate the 250th anniversary of our nation, your vote matters more than ever. For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
There are two steps to voting. One, go to your polling place and vote. Two, listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. After you visit the voting booth, tune into News Radio 92.3 beginning at 7 p.m. tonight. And there'll be a complete wrap-up the next morning on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. So, to sum up, step one, vote. Step two, listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the World Series, or it's the, I don't know, it's close to the World Series. It's Election Day. It's the most important of 2 days in our democracy when people get to vote for the primaries and other things. Joining us now by phone, we have Robert Bender, the Supervisor of Elections for Escambia County, former County Commissioner, a good friend. Robert, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Okay, first thing I got to ask you, how weird was it to have me come ambush you while Walker Wilson was filling in and you were here in studio with him?
Well, you know, I saw your post from Fort Pickens the day before, or rather Gulf Shores the day before, so I knew you were still in the area. But it was great seeing you in, and glad we were able to talk about the little nuances on the ballot.
Yeah, so I don't know if we'll get to any of that this time. We'll see. But first thing that I want to make sure that we cover with you: who in Escambia County today does not have something to vote on?
Everyone in Escambia County has a ballot today. So we have a countywide referendum on an appointed school superintendent or going back to an elected school. And so that will be on everybody's ballot. We have school board races in districts 1, 2, and 3. There's only two candidates in each of those races. So the next three school board members will know who they are tonight. And then you also have the mayor's race in the city of Pensacola. So all city of Pensacola residents will have their choice between the six mayoral candidates. To see who will be the next mayor. And again, if one candidate gets over 50% of the vote today, then they will be elected and will not show up on the November race.
And that's just the local elections, right? We have the superintendent issue, as you said. We have the school board elections in three districts, and we have the mayor's race in the city of Pensacola. In addition, we have governor, we have agriculture secretary, we have U.S. senator, we have U.S. House, we have state house in District 2, which is, you know, the southern portion of Escambia and the most southern portion of Santa Rosa County. So there are all kinds of things for everybody to vote on in this election. And I just want to make sure this everybody hears this, because they may not think it because it's a primary, is even if you're not registered as a member of a party, you have something to vote on today, correct, Robert?
Correct. You at least have the school referendum, and again, most likely you'll have something else. You know, in some districts, we actually have three columns worth of things on the ballot. So again, Republicans and Democrats both have U.S. Senate, governor, and lieutenant governor. Remember, only vote for one there. For the Republican side, none of the candidates had listed the lieutenant governor, so it's only the governor candidates. So only vote for one.
Let's just pause there for a second, because this was a thing, you know, you and I talked about it when I jumped in with Walker, but my wife got her ballot and I was helping her with it. And both of us were a little bit, you know, my job is to be informed about these things. And I'm like, yeah, just one. Those are all people running against each other. But it sounds like vote for governor and lieutenant governor. This language is very confusing. And even a fairly smart woman, my wife, the smartest woman I've ever met, you know, she was like, do I vote for one or do I vote for two? And the answer is?
Vote for one.
Just one. And then they will decide who their lieutenant governor is, right?
Correct. So, again, think of it like president and vice president, every other cycle on that. Again, on the flip side, on the Democratic side, David Jolly was the only one who had selected a lieutenant governor. So Glenn Graham is on there just underneath his name and slightly offset. But we get calls asking where her oval is to vote for her. But she is on the same ticket with David Jolly. So it seems no matter which way you cut it, it's a little confusing. But so yeah, it's just vote for one. Governor and lieutenant governor is the name of the race, but we only have the governor candidates listed because that's all who had submitted their paperwork by the time we went to print.
And let's also just really quickly clarify that the incumbent label on David Williams for School Board District 3, if you live in District 3, the only reason that has incumbent is because they have the same last name, and by law you have to put incumbent next to, in order to avoid the kind of confusion that we're seeing. There's a race, I think, where was that race at, PJ, where the guy's got the same name as the other guy?
Alaska.
Okay. It's to avoid that problem, right, Robert?
Correct. Yes, exactly. And so we do have incumbent next to it, and again, informing both of those candidates when that decision was made, or you know, as we were creating the ballot and came across that, so that they were aware of that, and they understood. So, but that is what the statute says. If one of them is the incumbent and they have the same last name, then that designation is placed next to the incumbent.
Just to, it's actually meant to increase clarity for voters who might otherwise be confused by the similarity in names. Talking to Robert Bender, Supervisor of Elections. Robert, hang on for just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that travel advisory, Cottage Hill Road at County Road 95A in Cantonment. Use caution as the railroad arms are active and down. That is right near Jim Allen Elementary. That could be a problem later this morning. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ with the traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Robert Bender, the Supervisor of Elections in Escambia County. Robert, there are some new polling places. I know my polling place changed. If people have not paid attention to the mailers, because sometimes they don't, because I always go to the same place, well, maybe not, right?
Right. So, number one, if your polling location has changed, you were sent a letter with a new voter information card. If it was a permanent change, we also put A-frame signs at all of those old locations to let voters know that that location's changed. So, if you do end up going to the wrong site today, there'll be an A-frame sign there to direct you to the correct polling place. Or if you go to something like Southwest Library today, which is only open for us during early voting, you'll find that is closed, but again, should have an A-frame sign out front that says, here, scan here to find out where you need to go today, because remember, you need to go to your home precinct today. So we do have those notices up. So we do have a couple new permanent locations, and then also we do have the two temporary locations where the Fricker Center is at the main library, and then Precinct 70 is down with the gathering place, Pensacola Christian College at 110.
That's the one where I'm going to. Okay, so I requested a vote by mail. And then, you know, the dog chewed it up. I forgot to fill it out. What do I do?
Just show up. You know, the technology that we have is that as we are scanning in vote by mail ballots, it shows that you've voted continuously. You know, we continuously update. And so if that happens, again, sometimes people say, hey, I mailed it and it's lost. You guys haven't received it. You know, we are caught up. We had about 500 ballots that came in the mail yesterday that we're in the middle of processing now. But if you get there and it shows you haven't voted, you get a ballot. By the time we go to check in the vote by mail ballot, it'll show you've already voted, and we'll set it aside and never open it. So the point is we want you to be able to make sure your voice is heard. And so just get out and vote.
If I did fill out my vote by mail and I just want to drop that off, can I?
You cannot. Only available to bring that by the office downtown. Otherwise, and part of that is because of some security features that we have on that ballot. There's a V in an official area that would prevent it from being read at the tabulator in the precinct. So. If you do want to bring by your vote by mail ballot, you need to bring it downtown to the SOE office.
What if
by
I put
7 p.m. tonight? So
okay, so I can bring it by and drop it off at the Supervisor of Elections office downtown. What if I put it in the mailbox today?
So again, we're working with the USPS. Clearly, there will be some things that get put in the mail today that will make it to the office by 7 p.m. So we'll have multiple pickups for them. They're going to try to consolidate. I have a great working relationship with the USPS and everything that we've been doing with them. I really appreciate their local assistance. And so There is a possibility that if you put it in the mail today, that it will be in the office and in our possession by 7 p.m. tonight.
But that's a gamble, and postmark is not a guarantee, right?
Correct. No postmark. Only postmark applies for overseas voters and during a presidential preference primary or the general, so would not apply in this. So every ballot needs to be in our possession by 7 p.m. tonight during the primary election.
Why won't you let me vote at the library book materials return drop slot or the tax collector's office drop slot? Robert, why do you make it so hard, and why are voters so dumb that we need to put I use the library all the time, and every time I'm reminded when I drive by, I'm like, oh yeah, we got dumb voters, so we have to close off the drop box at the library because otherwise people will put their ballots there.
And of course, part of that is making sure that they are aware. You know, we have the secure ballot intake stations. They're manned and only open during early voting hours at the early vote sites or at my office. And so part of it is a security issue that we have because you can only have two vote by mail ballots outside of your immediate family. Part of that is security and then also making sure that they are in our possession. So if you dropped it off the library today, that's not the supervisor's possession. That's West Florida Public Library System's possession. So they do that on their own and just to try to avoid confusion. But a tax collector does the same thing, has notices on all their drop boxes not to put their ballot in there. But, you know, we all share that. We get things for the tax collector sometimes too. So,
fair enough. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question, and you're going to hate me for asking, but you're going to know why I'm asking. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
What time do you connect the voting machines to the internet?
We don't.
So that's it. People believe that to this day. There are people who believe that the voting machines are somehow connected to the internet and therefore susceptible to being hacked. Right? Okay, so. Right. Are any of the tabulators connected to the internet?
So we do have a closed network system that transmits results to our office and initiated by the election workers. But we are not just sitting there connected to the internet. Again, it's initiated. And really, that's just a way for us to get these results to us a little bit faster. We still have multiple other ways that we receive and confirm the vote total, including an independent audit that will run all the ballots through in the next 2 days or so and compare those results. So, again, we do modem. It takes 30 seconds after initiation to upload. And so that's why we'll be able to have probably the majority of our results posted probably between 7:35 and 7:45 tonight.
Which I think, by the way, is an amazing system. And I'll say it every year. I'll say it again now. You know, people always tag Florida with the year 2000 and all the craziness. But because of what happened in 2000, we have made dramatic and significant reforms to our way of doing elections to the point that we know who got elected unless there's a recount, which is, you know, very, very close margins. We know the night of the election who won. Meanwhile, we look at places like California, and we can't figure out what in the hell they're doing. So we do it right.
And I think part of that is that we haven't rested on our laurels.
Yeah.
The legislature continues to make improvements, and one of the things we were talking about a minute ago was, things like voters who haven't been active in two election cycles. It used to be that we would send them a notice, and if we didn't hear back from them, then nothing would happen. And so, effective July of 2023. If we sent you a notice, you know, asking if you were still at that location or still in the area, and you don't respond, we will move you to inactive, and eventually you'll be purged two election cycles later. So, again, we continue to make those improvements to the system, just like we've added security around vote by mail. The request is wiped clean after every general election, so after November, all the over 20,000 requests that we currently have on file will be removed, and you'll have to renew that request. And when you do make that request, you'll also have to provide your driver's license or the last 4 years Social Security. And so, again, I think that's where Florida is, again, continuing to improve security around elections.
Very good. And just last thing I just want to mention in case people forget, don't take a gun to the polling place. It's one of the prohibited locations. And, you know, so don't do it. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to catch a felony just because you forgot. Right?
Sounds good. Yeah. Polls open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Santa Rosa as well. I know they have a lot going on in Santa Rosa. They run countywide, so I know that there'll be a lot of things on the ballot for them over there.
Everybody in both counties has something to vote on today in Santa Rosa and Escambia County. Robert Bender, Supervisor of Elections here. Of course, Tappy Villain, Supervisor of Elections in Santa Rosa County. Robert, thanks for all the hard work. Thanks for keeping our elections safe, for securing our democracy, and for giving me a few minutes here before the polls actually open officially this morning in about 5. Thanks for the time, sir. Thanks for the work.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
You bet. 655 News Radio 92.3 PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a travel advisory, Cottage Hill Road at County Road 95A in Cantonment. The railroad arms are active and down. Just use caution as you pass by that area. I'm PJ through traffic on the five.
Oh, I missed this text. I guess it was Robert's birthday yesterday. So sorry, Robert. Happy birthday. If you're listening, I'll text you. Anyway, I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability in housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice, Colonel Eric W. Shorter, for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter, candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Admiral, wouldn't it be easier to just put an experienced crew back on the ship?
Galloping around the cosmos is a game for the young, Doctor.
Good morning, 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, opening statements in a landmark trial against Meta start today. California, Colorado, Kentucky, and New Jersey are seeking $1.4 trillion in damages Of course, they allege the company engineered its websites to foster addictive behavior in teens and children.
Did you say they're looking for $1.5 trillion?
That, yes, $1.4 trillion.
I mean, eventually it's real money, you know? Wow. All right.
Chump change for social media, right?
That's, yeah, I mean, that's just like that's a day's operational budget. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. The last barrel of Schlitz has been tapped in Chicago.
No.
The last ever. You know what, though? Don't be sad. It's not like we have less beer now. We have way more beer than we've ever had before, and the fact that nobody wants to pay enough to buy bad beer is actually kind of a good
thing.
Listen on air,
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's a hoax. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what President Trump is telling voters in Alaska on primary day, warning them not to back an imposter in a Senate race with about a dozen candidates.
Two of them are named Dan Sullivan. Dan J. Sullivan, a retired teacher, and incumbent Republican Senator Dan S. Sullivan, who is seeking a third term. And President Trump is up early this morning, already posting online, Alaska, be careful, vote for the real Dan Sullivan today.
Fox's Alex Hogan. The other Dan Sullivan insists his campaign is not a sham. Among those also trying to unseat Senator Dan Sullivan, former Democratic Congresswoman Mary Peltola, the top four in today's primary advanced to November. There are also primaries in Wyoming and Florida, where Democratic Socialists are challenging two more House Democrats. Oliver Larkin hoping to unseat Congressman Jared Moskowitz, making immigration enforcement a big issue.
What it does is it endangers us. We do not need ICE to keep our communities safe.
In California, there's a special election to replace ex-Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell. And the winner will be a Democrat. Aisha Wahab and Melissa Hernandez advanced in a June runoff to the primary to today's runoff. Meanwhile, Fox's Todd Pyro has an update on a Swalwell controversy.
Swalwell admitted to FBI agents that he had, quote, physical